This week, we talked to returning guest John Papa about some interesting data access topics, including link to JSON.
John, welcome to the Sparkling Client Podcast.
Thank you for having me here.
Yeah, we're excited to have you on. Now, one sort of interesting thing when I've seen this sort of code on the client is that it's an asynchronous model with link, which looked a little unusual to me when I first saw it.
Yes, it's something people who get really into link, like myself, you start writing your link query definition, and then when you're done with it, a lot of times we're getting a list of something. So we just say myquery.toList, and we get our list back, and we run with it. Well, if you're running in Silverlight, you can't just take a query and do a toList on it because that's an asynchronous operation.
Right.
So it's going to have to go off, and you have to execute the query on the server and bring it back. So once you get your query definition, you need to cast that query definition into what the data services needs. So you can run the query through the services asynchronously, and then in an event handler, it'll get back the list of whatever you were looking for, and then you can consume it, doing what you need to it. But yeah, you can't just say, here's my query, run it into a toList, because of the asynchronous operations.
But then there are some link operations in the client that look a little more like something we're used to. And in fact, you have this blog post on link to JSON, which, quite frankly, I didn't know you could actually do. Would you care explaining a little bit about that?
Yeah, link to JSON is pretty cool. I've got to admit that I haven't been a huge JSON fan for a long time, only because I like to be able to debug what I'm writing really easily.
Mm.
And if you look at JSON versus looking at XML, it's a lot harder to debug what you're looking at, especially if you've got large sets of data. You've got nested objects. And JSON basically is a set of nested arrays. JavaScript Object Notation is what it stands for. So now there was I think it was called an incubation project for a while, where it was something called Link to JSON, where the Microsoft guys put it up on CodePlex. And it became a real boy recently in the Silverlight world, where you can now write link to JSON queries using standard link query syntax against JSON data. And it makes using JSON really trivial at this point. So now you can use what you know with link to write a query against JavaScript object notation, and you can get back whatever you want with it. You can morph that data into any format you need, and you get the advantages of using JSON, which is much smaller than XML because there's no tags to delineate everything. And also, JSON services are really what AJAX consumes. So you can write the same service be consumed by AJAX as Silverlight.
Right, yeah, and that was the point I was going to ask you about. Are JSON services going to be important for the future? Because if we're writing Silverlight clients, say, instead of AJAX clients, are they really going to be useful? But I like this point that you make that, well, look, they're a lot smaller, and in some cases, that's certainly going to be important.
Yes, they are smaller, and you know, in a lot of the demos that I'm writing for the book, the data might be 4 rows of customers. You're not going to see a big difference, something like that, obviously, but you're getting back lots of data. It can make a huge difference. And I just say I'm thrilled that link to JSON exists, personally.
As am I. Would you mind talking just for a moment about how we would consume that data without link to JSON?
Yeah, from Silverlight specifically, there's a couple of other options. Obviously, you can parse it using any kind of custom parser you might want to write. But there's also the data contract JSON serializer class, which you can use to actually serialize JSON data or deserialize it if you know what object it's going to be put back into. So you can get into using that. That's basically a derivative of the data contract serializer class, which uses XML.
Right.
That's another option that you can do. And I have examples in my book of how to use both link to JSON and the data contract JSON serializer, which is way too long of a name of a class, in my opinion. But
it does get to be pretty long. Well, thank you. That has been a great overview. I'm wondering if we can leave people with maybe a little tip or a little trick that might help them out in debugging these sort of services. Would you mind giving us the thumbnail overview of Firebug?
Firebug's a great utility with Firefox. If you haven't used that add-on yet, you definitely should. The tools I like to use are for Firefox, I use Firebug, and for Internet Explorer, I use the Web Development Helper tool. And both those tools work with those particular browsers. And they let you sniff out, among other things, network traffic that browser is handling. So when you're running your applications, you can turn on Firebug and you can watch all the requests, the posts, the gets. You can see the status codes coming back. You can see what the response or the request looks like. really helps figure out what's going on. And a great example of using Firebug to figure out a problem is this cross-domain issue a lot of people run into, where they've got a Silverlight client application on one hosted website hitting a service on a different hosted domain. The cross-domain issue comes in play where Silverlight and the browser prevents you from making that cross-domain call unless a cross-domain policy file exists on the service's server. So the way you can find this out, you may not even know this exists. So you're running your Silverlight application, you go to hit a service on another domain, and it just keeps coming back with a 404 page not found. And you're trying to figure out what's going on. Well, a great way to find this out is a crank up Firebug or Fiddler or Web Development Helper, depending upon the browsers that you're using, and to watch the request. When you make your service request, the first thing that gets requested is not the service call. It's a request to look for the client access policy.xml file. And that file should exist on the server in the server's root for the service you're hitting. And if it doesn't exist, it'll get a 404 and then move on to the next file, which is the flash formatted cross-domain.xml file. And if that file exists, it'll find it and it'll look inside there to see, can the domain that's calling me requesting my service actually make this request? And if it allows it, then the third call will be for your actual service. And Firebug will show this. And where you get the error is if you don't have, your application does not find the client access policy file or the cross-domain policy file on the server of the service, then you're going to get back a 404 error, your service never gets called, and you just get an exception thrown. But Firebug makes it crystal clear of why you're looking for these things.
Great. Yeah, I think that's a really useful tip for people, especially when they're making cross-domain calls or even when they're making calls to their own domain. John, you are a wealth of information about Silverlight data access. Thank you so much for being on the Sparkling Client podcast.
Thank you very much, Eric.